Sorry for preempting Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford. My name is Todd Friel. I am the executive director of Fortis Institute. We have the joy of producing Transformed and five other podcasts, all of which are ranked in the top 5% of all podcasts worldwide. Transformed is ranked in the top 0.5% of all podcasts globally. Why is it so popular? It's because it's so biblical and it is so helpful. And I'm preempting at the beginning of the program to encourage you, if you have been helped by Transformed, would you consider becoming a gospel partner and supporting us as the year draws to a close? Such a crucial time. We have a match giving campaign, which means your gifts impact will be doubled. So if Transformed has been a blessing, would you please consider blessing us with a year-end gift? You can do that at fortisinstitute.org/donate.
What is
biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Master's University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transform. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and I am blessed again today to be joined by my friend, my elder, my fellow ACBC bro, James Parker.
Thank you for having me.
Glad you're back. Before we jump in, if you have enjoyed Transform, just remember that one of the things you can do to help others find us is follow us on Apple, Spotify, Amazon. If you're on Apple, leaving a review is super helpful. Same with Spotify. So thanks for doing that. Okay, we've been talking about productivity. I think I added a T to that. Productivity, dear, my Jamaican ladies inside. And what in our first episode, if you haven't listened to it, I would actually encourage you to pause, go back and listen to the first episode. We were saying, so James is a productivity coach and has been doing that since 2019. So he kind of helped frame for us, what does productivity actually look like? So I would start there. And then in today's episode, we'd like to translate that a little bit to planning. And how does understanding your priorities in life then translate into practical planning? So James, help us out. How do we make sense of this?
Yeah, so I think what would be helpful is to bridge last episode with this episode. Is in last episode, we talked about what Christian productivity really means. And my definition for that is stewarding what matters most to God. And we learned that productivity is not about getting more done, but about bearing fruit that actually lasts. Today, I want to take that one step further. I truly believe that one of the best ways to steward what matters most is to plan for what matters most. And so planning is really how we take the values of stewardship and translate them into faithful action.
Yep, good. Because it's like, all right, cool. We need to make priorities. And then what? So it's not like, all right, so how do we do that? What does it look like to plan? Why do we plan? How do we think about planning without becoming control freaks? Give us some of those biblical parameters, if you don't mind.
Yeah. And you've probably heard too, as I have, that there's people that say, I'm not much of a planner, or I prefer to be more spontaneous. But I'm actually convinced that everyone plans. If we use just food or meals as an example, think about a toddler. A toddler plan simply decides which food on their plate that mom put in front of them to eat first. They're just making a plan in that moment a few seconds before it goes in their mouth. Now, a high schooler might be planning by walking to the pantry and opening up the pantry and seeing what's in there. Mom, there's nothing here. But as we mature, that means that we start learning to plan ahead, which might mean preparing meals in advance or budgeting for groceries or thinking about wisely how we use our time and money so we're not just going to overpriced grocery stores around the corner or eating out last minute just because we haven't planned at all. So I truly believe that we do all plan. It's just a matter of what is that time horizon that we're thinking about. And as we grow, our planning timeframe usually expands.
Expands in terms of you're just thinking further ahead.
Yeah. If you think about it, I don't know anyone that in school really got any training or education on how to plan. And so I just think that as you grow and as you mature, you kind of have to start figuring these things out on your own.
Yeah, right.
But for the maturing Christian, as our time frame expands, I think it's so important to stress this point. is that even as our time frame expands, our grip on those things should actually loosen. James 4:15 talks about this. If the Lord wills, we will do such and such. Proverbs 16:9 says, Scripture says that a man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps.
Right.
And so we, yes, let's make plans. Let's think further out. Let's start thinking about what would it look like to retire? What would it look like to go on vacation? And let's start planning for those things now, but with open hands, knowing that the Lord may say no to that. The Lord may cancel those plans. And so it's really both. It's this, hey, I'm going to spend some of my time doing something that may never happen, which is plan for something that the Lord may say, no, that is not a priority that I have for you in your life. But I think one of our stewardships is to think about the long term and start looking at what that might look like today and this week mm-hmm. and this month to move toward those things.
Mm-hmm. Do you think the people that are the best stewards are the best planners to a degree?
I think scripture would say that in Proverbs. So if we look at like Proverbs 21:5, the plans of the diligent mm-hmm. lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. And so I do think there is planning and diligence go hand in hand in some ways.
Right.
The difference between busyness, like I said before, and stewardship is that busyness is just taking action. Stewardship is taking action on what matters most. And I think planning is one of the best ways to ensure that we're taking action on what matters most. I don't think scripture necessarily gives us a detailed framework
right.
for what
right.
that looks like, but there's guiding principles and examples really help us. So Proverbs 15:22 is good. Without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. Proverbs 16:3, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. Actually, Jesus assumes that we plan with intentional and foresight when he says in Luke 14:28, which of you, desiring to build a tower, yep. does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it. So he's comparing that obviously with whether or not you're going to follow Christ or not.
Right.
But he's just assuming that people think ahead and people plan, and that's part of wise living. One of the analogies I like to use is prayer to me is a lot like prayer. Scripture tells us that prayer accomplishes much and that God answers prayer, yet he's also fully sovereign over every outcome. So I think we see that same dynamic in planning. God calls us to plan, but then he also directs every step.
I wonder too, like, because part of us are burdened by planning. It's like we're very free-spirited. And when we think of planning, we think of like drudgery. We don't always think of like, no, there's actually greater enjoyment in diligent plans and being faithful in your planning. You know, you've planned to have a date night with your wife, mm-hmm. and then you've planned to live by a budget, and you've identified that. And there's actually greater joy that comes from wise planning as opposed to spontaneity. Because sometimes spontaneity is like, YOLO, carpe diem, baby. Like, let's just live in the moment. Let's just enjoy ourselves today. And planning is like this burdensome task. Whereas it's like, no, I think the opposite's actually true. Like there's greater joy and freedom when you are seeing plans you entrusted to the Lord to use your idea of an open grip. Those are coming to fruition rather than constantly living. You're broke, your relationships are strained, your job's strained, all because you just won't pause and prioritize and then plan based off of that, right? Like, isn't there some corresponding between planning and joy as opposed to spontaneity?
Yeah, one of the things is that planning forces us to face our limits. It reminds us that we're not God. So what you were just saying there is that like planning is actually teaching us humility to help us live within our limits. And if we're not planning and we're just living spontaneously, I think we're missing out some of that stewardship because it's so limited.
Yep.
Psalm 90:12 says, so teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. So numbering your days is planning. It's acknowledging that your time is finite, but it's also valuable. And since we can't do everything, we can't do every opportunity, planning becomes a way to live within your God-given limits. And so I think that's one of the benefits that you find when you plan is that you're not just living spontaneously on whatever seems to be the most important in the moment, but actually what is the most important long-term because you've spent some time being intentional about that question.
Yeah, it feels like a great way to blow up my life to just live by what I want to do in the moment, you know, like my feelings for today.
Yep. And planning, like I said, planning is humility because it's saying, God, I only have so much time. I only have so much energy. And I only have so much strain. So teach me how to use that wisely.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Okay. Well, so we're translating priorities to planning. And then as a Christian coach, then you kind of help connect people to, okay, this is God's priorities. And then let's translate that into the way that you're structuring your life around those priorities, which means if you have the wrong priorities, you could never really plan faithfully. Like your plans will always be off in some way.
Yeah.
Okay. Now tease that out with me. When I think of planning, is there like a required plan? And then is there a nice to have plan? You know, like how do you start to tease that? It's like, hey, you got a plan for the week, you got a plan for the day, but then is there like a nice to if you get to? Like, I think of triage and counseling where sometimes a person has like this major issue and it's like, hey, you got to deal with this issue first before you can start to deal with that issue. Like, are there tiers of planning in that way?
Yeah. So the way I think about planning is I try to think about what clarity do I have about what I believe God's called me to in this next season? And trying to think about as far out as I can in those different areas that we talked about last episode.
Yep.
In chapter 9 of Heart and Habits, it talks about those different spheres into different areas. And so as you're thinking about each of those areas, it's looking out as far as you can to make some sort of plan about, hey, this is where I think God has called me to do in this area of my life over the next year or over the next quarter or over the next month or maybe even longer if it's a really long-term thing. I think it's helpful to get clear on those areas of your life and then creating goals that you can then work back to what it looks like to be faithful in the moment. I think that's what's most important.
Got it.
Is that Christian planning is not about controlling outcomes because we don't actually know if we're going to get those things. But really, it's about discerning faithfulness in the present moment. So I like to say that the purpose of a plan is actually not to accomplish it, but to define what well done looks like today. You know, Proverbs 16:3 talks about how man plans, but God answers.
Yeah, right.
And so when we're making that plan, we don't know if God's going to answer like, yes, like that plan is going to come to fruition or not. But if you take anybody, like a business owner as an example, if you have a plan to start a business, let's say, and you hope to launch it by the end of the year, thinking through where you need to be by the end of the year and the next quarter to stay on track and what needs to happen this month to support that, and what you need to do this week really helps you to discern what well done looks like right now.
Yeah, good. That's helpful. Because it's like, start with the big goal, start to digest, go backwards, think through like, how are you going to get there? And then I love the idea of well done as just being faithful to today, which is cumulatively working towards those big picture things. So we got to do this. Let's take a short break. When we come back, let's pick up with this idea. We'll be right back.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Gifford and his guest, James Parker, in just a moment. They're flipping planning on its head today. Really, honestly, that's what they're doing. Everything that I've ever thought about making a plan is kind of being reoriented right now. James said that the purpose of a plan is not to accomplish it. He says it's actually to define what well done looks like. How many of us have just been drowning in five-year plans that we never complete? But you know what's the most amazing part about that philosophy? It's exactly how the Masters University approaches education. TMU, they're not trying to manufacture predetermined outcomes. They're not trying to force students into the same mold. What they're doing is teaching students to wake up every morning and know exactly what well done looks like. If you want to learn more about the Masters University, just go to masters.edu/transformed. And speaking of being faithful every day, that's literally the same philosophy behind Fortis Plus. Hundreds of hours of audio and video content available right now, and we are adding to that every day. Download it and see exactly what I'm talking about. Fortis Plus, you can find it on your app store right now, whether that's on your smartphone, your smart TV, or you can just simply go to fortisplus.org. Oh, and hey, the best part, it's absolutely free. And the reason that it is free is because of our gospel partners. These are men and women who believe in what we're doing here at Fortis Institute. They believe in it so much that they have linked arms with us as partners. You can find out more right now about what it would look like in your life to join us as a gospel partner at fortisinstitute.org. Now, let's get back to Dr. Greg Gifford and his guest, James Parker. This is Transformed. Welcome back to Transformed.
The Bible informs us that difficult events or circumstances are not the cause of our bad decision making. Trauma merely reveals what is already in the heart.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Okay, welcome back to Transformed. We have been discussing the concept of planning and planning in regard to productivity. And I did say we, because my friend and Christian productivity coach, James Parker, is here. And so, James, let's continue this idea of planning for present faithfulness. So we finished the last segment by saying we're not in control of the outcomes. We do plan, like we do make an aspiration and aim for that. I think there's biblical examples you mentioned where Jesus is talking about the cost of discipleship. We could see if you want to be an elder, that desire is a good thing. Paul says in Romans 15, like, I want to go to Rome and I want to ultimately make it out to Spain. So we know that ambitions and plans can be honoring to the Lord. So like, okay, let's break it down a little bit in this last segment. Like, how do we plan to be present today? And then like, let's translate that to practical actions.
Yeah, absolutely. And last time we had talked briefly about what it might look like to start a business and launch it and what you would need to do to set up some of those planning. But you may actually never end up launching that business. But faithful action over time, I truly believe, brings clarity. And when you're faithful with this day, and then you're faithful with this week, and you're faithful with this month, God often gives you a new perspective on what faithfulness looks like in this next season. One of the ways that I practically think about this is that none of the clarity that you would have comes from just sitting in your chair daydreaming about owning a business, but it actually comes from getting clear on what to do and then actually doing it. And in taking action, I believe the Lord is going to direct our steps.
You know, I actually think that the biblical correlation to that is, remember where Paul is intro as, and he thought he was going to go back from the Aegean Sea back into Asia Minor. And he has a dream there of a Macedonian man. And what happens is like his plans totally change and he ends up going to Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea. And it's like, but if you were to ask him at the beginning of his second missionary journey, Paul, where are you going? It's like, I'm going to go turn around at the sea at Troas and then go back. But as he was going, God directed his steps in that way. And I've heard someone say, it's actually easier to direct a moving car than it is a stationary car, like one that's parked.
Yeah, absolutely. And with that as well is, you know, we've talked about that James 4 passage where if the Lord wills.
Right.
And I think that's so huge. And I've said this multiple times, but I think it's so important to say it again. The planning that we are doing is still being laid at the foot of Jesus. And if our attitude and our posture is not if the Lord wills, if our posture is my will, not yours, if we are not having that kingdom mindset, then slowly over time, our plans become our blueprint for our kingdom. And that is not what scripture teaches.
Yep.
And that's one of the biggest concerns for my own heart and for the hearts of my clients is as they're making plans, always constantly being reminded of, hey, this is about what the Lord is building in your life and what he's cultivating in your field through your stewardship. It's not about you. And it's not about your kingdom. Because that's exactly what we have to deny and take up our cross and follow him is actually to kill that kingdom of ours that every day, you know, we're asking that question, who's going to be king today? Who's going to be king today? And plans can sometimes tempt us that we're king. And so I always want to remind us that if the Lord wills is the attitude and the posture of our heart, that this is about what he wants. And so if he's going to take that away from me and it's not going to happen, he's going to send me somewhere else, that's okay. And that's good. And that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And I was still being diligent to pursue something.
Absolutely.
And not on my spiritual couch, eating spiritual Cheetos, you know, saying like, Lord, guide me, lead me to something. And it's like, I'm not doing anything. I'm not being faithful today. I'm not being faithful in the present for God to actually guide me.
Correct. And I believe that planning gives shape to our stewardship and it helps us live wisely within our limits with that correct posture.
And you know, what's interesting is I think it was Kevin DeYoung that wrote the book, Just Do Something. And the concept behind it was like, okay, be faithful. Now make the plan, start to take steps of that. And then God actually uses your present faithfulness to reveal his plan and show you what you should be doing.
Absolutely.
Okay, so I think of present faithfulness as like today and this week. Is that what you're saying as well? Like, let's be faithful today. Let's be faithful this week.
Correct. Yeah. God has not promised us that we are going to have one more second of breath. He doesn't promise us this afternoon. He doesn't promise us tomorrow. He doesn't promise us next week. This may be the last moment that I'm on this earth, and I want to be found faithful in this moment. So me being fully present right now as you and I are having a conversation mm-hmm. is what faithfulness looks like. Mm-hmm. Not being distracted, not thinking about what's going to happen after we're done. Like me being found faithful is right now. And so it's connecting all of those nows to tomorrow is what planning is trying to do. It's saying, hey, if I'm going to move towards something, what would 3 months from now have to look like? Okay, great. Based on that, what would a month from now need to look like? Based on that, what does this week look like? And then based on that, what does it mean to be found faithful right in this moment? And so each of those steps is just another opportunity for us to be faithful in that moment. And then I believe God's going to give us clarity on what the next moment should look like.
Yeah. So if a person met with you as a coach, you would say, hey, identify the priorities, and you're going to help kind of like buffer out, hey, that's not a biblical priority, or that is a biblical priority. But then can you give us like some of the practical next steps? Like, what does it look like to go from the quarterly to the weekly to the daily? Like, how do you do that? What tools do you use?
Yeah. So I've got a dashboard that I use with my coaching clients, but really what we're trying to do is, hey, everyone's different. Like, I work with professionals, I work with leaders, I work with creatives, entrepreneurs, small business owners, teams. Like, there's a lot of different people I work with, parents, students, pastors. Each of them is going to have a different priority for their season of life. And so I'm really helping them articulate what is that goal in that specific area of their life that matters. What is that goal they believe God's called them to in this next season? I like to do quarterly.
Okay.
I think quarterly is really helpful. So if you can get really clear on like, hey, if this is the first quarter of the year, what would I like to get done in the next 3 months as it relates to, let's say, health? Because I think that's a good analogy. People can resonate with that because they've all had that conversation probably internally at some point in their life is, hey, what does the next quarter look like for health-wise? And then it's getting really clear on that goal, because once you get clear on that goal, it tells you what to say no to. If you know what yes looks like and what faithfulness looks like, then it gives you the ability to say no to other things. And so let's say for someone, it's like, hey, I want to go to the gym consistently in Q1. And I want to show up every day, even if it's only for 5 minutes, even if it's not for an hour workout. Let's just say I want to show up faithfully to be a good steward of my body, just to get some exercise in. And that's what they want to do for the quarter.
Yep.
Then I would say, great, what do you need to do this month to be on track for that? And that might not be like, oh, X number of workouts. That might be, I need to go research some gyms in my local area that might be a good fit for me. Or I need to research different equipment maybe I could have in my house so I don't have to go to the gym. And that's what they may need to do for the first week, you know, first month.
Right.
And then the first week, they might say, hey, I'm going to at least research 3 different options that I could do to take care of my body. So I'm stewarding that well. And so I'm just helping them get really clear on that. Now, health is an easy example. A lot of my clients, because many of them are in the business world or in the ministry space, because they're there, that, you know, that's not necessarily the goals and the conversations we're having when, you know, we're
You're just doing that at a different level. You're helping them like identify vocational goals, breaking down, you know, sales, calls, contacts, and then making specific goals, weekly goals, daily goals that would fit those quarterly goals.
Correct. And for ministry, there's so many key things of pouring into your people and shepherding and preparing for sermons and counts. Like all of those different things can feel completely overwhelming. And so you can feel stuck that you don't know exactly what to do next.
Right.
And my goal is to help get clarity on those things, prioritize them, define them, and then defining them actually helps us figure out what well done looks like now.
You have used the phrase, coaching helps believers move from confusion to clarity. And you know what? It's not dissimilar in counseling where it's like, you know the biblical principle, you just don't know how to actually translate it to your life. And what's beautiful is it's overwhelming to think about the quarterly goals, I think, just to be candid, because it's like, oh man, like lose 15 pounds, you know, make 200 sales calls. It's like, oh man, that's overwhelming. But it's like, yeah, but I could lose a pound a week, you know, or I could make 5 calls a week. And when I'm dissecting it like that, it becomes attainable. And that's faithfulness. It's like, I'm just going to be faithful this week and not worry about the overall or the outcome, to use your word.
Yeah. And another thing to say to that is that if you prioritize and put your different areas of your life and your different spheres of habits, like we talked about, in its proper order and pray through what is that one thing that I'm going to work on this quarter, then you're not trying to change every single thing about your life. Right. You're trying to work on that core key thing that's going to make everything else easier or unnecessary to focus on, because you're really focused in on what matters most to God and start there. It can be completely overwhelming if you're like, I got 12 things I need to be working on this quarter.
Oh, totally. When someone says that, I'm like, you're never going to change 12 things this quarter. Like, pick one, be concrete in the one, and then you'll actually see God produce fruit. So, James, thanks for being here. Thanks for coming for these past 2 episodes this week and last week. Can you tell me how people could get in touch with you?
Yeah, like I said last time, if anyone feels stuck, if they feel overwhelmed, if they feel exhausted, if they feel like they're always behind, I would love to help you plan for the future so you can steward what matters most. Feel free to schedule a discovery call with me at christianproductivitycoaching.com. Let's explore how to plan with purpose and steward what matters most to God.
Yeah, cool, brother. Thank you. Let me pray. Lord, we are men, and as listeners, we are individuals that want our lives to matter. And we want to put our ladder on the right wall as we're working our way towards seeing you. And we do want to seek first your kingdom, as James has mentioned. So help us to translate that into daily actions. Lord, we have entertainment, we have cell phones, we have social media that is just at times distracting us from why you've put us here. So would you use individuals like James to remind us, bring clarity, and to help us translate that into faithfulness on our part? Lord, I pray for the listener that they would be faithful. And as we enter into a new year, that they would think about this new year as stewardship and an opportunity to glorify you well. So give us grace to do that, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been Transformed from Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.